we move into the 5 o'clock hour here at 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Linum along with Tyler Zuli until 7 o'clock on this Saturday afternoon. And I'm happy to have Jim Herman join us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Jim Herman, a two-time PGA Tour winner, kind enough to join us. Jim, how are you? I hope your family's well.
Yeah, thanks, Dee. Yeah, we're doing great. We're safe and sound here in sunny Florida. It's getting really warm. Summer is here, obviously, but I'm sure it's getting nice and nice up there in Philadelphia.
It is tomorrow for sure. But yes, I could feel the humidity was starting yesterday. So, Jim, I'm going to start with the tomorrow's event. I call it the match. Just because I'm curious of what we're in for in terms of the golf course. And just this format is interesting to me. So I'll start with the course, Medalist Golf Club, which is a little north of Seminole, which we saw on display last week. And that was the first time it ever had had a live broadcast, which I thought was pretty cool. But what could you tell people about Medalist Golf Club?
Yeah, well, that was nice seeing Seminole last week. For those that are fortunate enough to get out there, like I have, it was just nice to see it again on TV. But Medalist is a little different. It's on the other side of the road there, US 1, and a little further north. It's in the same sand ridge as well, so lots of sand. But it is out in the swamp a little bit. They dug it out and have a little bit more water in play on both sides on some holes, but some trees, but you'll see lots of sand, and it should be exciting. They routed it through, it's a Greg Norman, Pete Desai original design.
Yep.
So they, you know, obviously Pete Dye, he's pretty diabolical with his designs. Obviously it's been redesigned a little bit since the original with Bobby Weed, and he does a great job. So I actually haven't been out there since the redesign, and I want to get down there, but I play my golf a little further north. I'm in Palm City, just up the road, about 10 to 12 miles, and I play at a nice place as well, and so I definitely need to get down there, but I will be excited to see it. Last time I was out there, I was just playing for fun, but I have a little history there. I caddied for just a month or so when I was just trying to figure out if I was going to make it in professional golf, and I didn't know which direction I was going. I got into the club professional business instead of caddying, but I did caddy for 1 month out there. So,
nice.
A little extra knowledge on that.
Exactly. All right, this format has Tiger Woods paired up with Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson with Tom Brady. Before I get into their format, I'm sure you've played in these kind, this is for charity this time around, but where maybe you are teamed up with somebody, and even if it is for charity, do you find that your competitive juices still want to win no matter what?
No matter what. You know, for us as athletes, we always compete. You know, we compete at everything, ping pong, cards. My wife is always yelling at me because I'm trying to win when I'm playing cards with my kids or dominoes or checkers or whatever it is. And these four gentlemen are the best of the best. And, you know, Tiger and Phil, in my profession, you know, there's none better. But Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were the top athletes in professional football, the best competitors. They want to win. Tiger and Phil want to beat each other. Tom and Peyton want to beat each other, whether it's at golf or any other sport. So it's going to be fun to see the competitive juices come out in everybody. We'll obviously see it with Tiger and Phil. They've done this before, and they've been going head-to-head for 20 years.
Sure.
So it's going to be very exciting. I think everyone's going to be really, really excited to see it tomorrow.
Jim, the front nine, they're going to play best ball, but number five, which is a par four, and maybe you remember it. I don't know if that's
sure.
One of the ones that were affected by the Tiger tees or not. But everybody has to choose one club, and you're going to play the whole hole, including putting, with that club. So my question to you is, for you, what club would that be?
Well, the fifth hole is, it's not a long hole. It's only 400 yards, you know, 410 yards used to be long years ago, but
right.
Pretty much you're going to look for, you know, a club that you're going to be hitting the same distance, you know, that 200-yard shot. So depending on the wind and everything else, you know, it could be a 6-iron, 5-iron, 7-iron, depending on how the wind is. But, you know, so I think you gotta just pick for that full club. And then, you know, if you do take a little bit more loft and you come up short, it'll be a little easier if you were chipping and pitching with a 7-iron versus a 6 or a 5. So, but the greens around Medalist are all shaved, and it's very tight lies around the green, so you could chip and putt with a 5-iron, no problem. But it will be exciting. Yeah, you'll be able to putt, no problem. It's not like it's going to be. I'm sure that green, if it is like it was before, there's a bunker, and then it'll just be some runoffs, and it'll be very exciting. The back nine obviously has a few more drivable par fours, which will be fun in that alternate shot format, which I'm sure you're going to get into.
Right. I'm curious because I did say, I was trying to explain to people that the strategy in alternate shot is worthy, correct? I mean, you will be thinking with your partner, how do we want to do this? You don't just automatically take the longest drive per se, because you're choosing, you know, you both hit a drive and now you're going to choose and go alternate shot in. So what would the strategy be if you were doing alternate shot
if Tom or Peyton could get their drives into a nice spot, I'm sure they would take their drives and then let the professionals hit the iron shots in. So I'm sure that's going to be the plan going forward. But, you know, on those short holes, like I said, the 11th and 14th are just, you know, they're very, very reachable for the professionals. And I'm sure they're going to be letting the driver out and see if they can get it up and near the green. And then obviously things will change. It should be very exciting. Obviously, that was a nice rule change for this event, and I'm sure the front nine will be loaded with some birdies, and then the back nine, you gotta have a little bit more strategy. You never know what could win the hole in a match play alternate shot format.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I do like that they have a couple. The back nine is different than last week's tournament.
Yeah, last week was fun. It kind of got a little very exciting going into it, and then a little bit late in the round, it kind of got. I'm not saying it was boring, but
no, but that was the word I used.
Yeah, you were ready for a little excitement, and that's it. But it was still great. My family, we were all watching. We watched the whole match.
Yep, and I taped it because I had to work, and I went home and I did watch it too. So, Jim, I'm curious because I get these alerts on my phone. I think today it said 19 days until PGA. Play, meaning the tour returns. Just a lot of these leagues have had a lot of Zoom meetings with their players, their owners, whatever. What has the PGA done in terms of keeping everybody in the loop and being able to share information of how everybody's going to be able to safely and be healthy in returning to the sport?
Yeah, well, they've been very, very cooperative. They've asked our opinions. All our player representatives, liaisons have been in touch with all the players, and lengthy conversations, what we'd like, what we feel we need in terms of safety and what we would be comfortable with. And then we have our player representatives meet with the tour on a more regular basis, obviously now with I'm sure they're meeting, you know, a couple times a week, via Zoom and things like that, just going over all the strategies, and they're definitely getting everyone involved and keeping us updated. We get emails sent out weekly and just detailing the plan and the plan going forward. And I think we're at a spot where I think all systems are ready to go June 11th, Thursday the 11th. So we're, as far as I can see, unless there's something unforeseen that comes up, I think we're going to be playing golf in a few weeks.
Excellent. Jim, I'm curious because when it all shut down, and it wasn't just for golf, it was all sports, was in the middle of March, and the Players' Championship was going on, and you were sitting pretty nice, tied for 7th. Does that tournament now go to the wayside? Do they try to bring it back? And does that first round count if they did bring it back?
Yeah, that would be nice if they just held everything and, you know, start up with the players. I don't think anyone brought that up, but that would have been a good idea. It will not be played again this year. That was out. The players is over, and there's no champion for 2020, and we'll have a 20 2021 players next year. So unfortunately, yeah, I was playing well. It was just round one. It's a 4-day tournament, but yeah, it's one of our, it's outside of the majors, it's our best event, our flagship event. You always want to play well in that event. So a little disappointing when that was all going on, but you understand completely. It seems, you know, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it seems forever ago.
No, I hear you.
At the same time. So I think we're all in the sports world. We're all just itching to get back. We want to do it safely, but I think everyone in the world wants to see some sports on TV. I think we all take it for granted what we're watching out there, the athletes, and how much entertainment that brings to our daily lives. And I'm a sports fan. I love baseball, football, basketball. You know, missing the NBA playoffs and all that. So hopefully that can all get restarted here soon.
Out of curiosity, because you are such a sports fan, did you watch The Last Dance? And
yeah,
if so, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I watched all 10. You know, you forget about things as they go
exactly.
by, and you know, you don't realize how much turmoil went into that last season, and you just think of all the success and, you know, just all the things, all the good things that went with it, but you don't realize, and maybe we didn't. You know, I was in Cincinnati at the time, and you know, the media was different then, and you know, there was no social media, and you know, you just didn't hear about all these things, and you don't know that everything was going on if you're not in that market and hearing it on a daily basis. So it was curious to see all the factors that were going into it. I mean, I totally forgot Dennis Rodman was when he turned the NBA Finals, went off to WWE and was wrestling.
I mean, I
totally forgot.
I
was like, that is amazing. That would never happen.
And I remembered that he was part of the WWE. I just forgot that it was in the middle of the of their playoffs.
It's crazy.
It really was.
Amazing.
It really was.
Just amazing.
And to see the competitiveness of, well, Jordan in particular, obviously,
yeah.
But even some of his teammates.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I mean, he is such a competitor. I know a lot of the guys have played golf with him since he's retired, and they just say how he's always competing, and you compete for every last dollar you have if you want to play for it. And but, I mean, just it shows what it takes to be one of the best, or to be the best. I mean, there are sacrifices that are going to be made, and you have to be on board and know that when you're trying, or being in a team sport, when you're competing with him, you better be all in just like him, or it's going to be a long road, and not everybody can put up with that. And in golf or individual sports, at least you know it's you. Whatever your drive is, it's into you, and you surround yourself with a caddy or a teacher that all know how you feel, and you got to surround yourself with caddies and coaches that know if you're not the most driven person, you don't want to be, if your personality doesn't lead to being on the range for 6 hours a day,
right,
or 5 hours or two, you got to know what your own personality is, and you got to build your travel and your practice and everything else around it, or you'll just be spinning your wheels.
I have one, just because you brought up caddies. Tomorrow, they're not, for the second week in a row, no caddies in this event. Will there, I think I've read that when it returns at the Charles Schwab, that there will be caddies. Is that your understanding?
That's where we are right now. We should have caddies. Everyone will be tested. Caddies, players, staff. So we are going forward with caddies. A few exceptions: international players and caddies are having to face international quarantine laws and 14-day quarantine before you're able to play. So any player or caddy that wants to compete has to get in the U.S. 14 days ahead of time. And I'm facing that problem. My caddy, Mike, he lives in Vancouver, so maybe without my caddy for a little bit. So what's Tim? Is Tim doing anything?
he's ready. He told me to tell you. First, hello, and if you need him, he's ready.
All right. Is he able to run around the country? You know, Fort Worth,
absolutely.
Hilton Head.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'll hold down the fort and his advertising fort as well.
Okay, how's he handling, speaking of Tom Brady, how's he handling Yes. No more Tom in New England. I'm sure.
It's very interesting in our household because, you know, their loyalty is to the team.
Is it to the team?
Well, we're going to find out this fall,
right.
Tim. We're going to find out.
How many loyal Patriot fans are going to jump ship?
I will tell you this. It's circled on the calendar of when they play Tom.
Yeah,
of course.
That's going to be great.
Yes. So.
That's going to be great.
Jim, thanks so much for the time. I do appreciate it. And I'll be watching tomorrow, and I certainly look forward to the tour picking up again as well. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Great to talk to you, and hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you to Jim Herman for being on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Tyler, well, you got one answer for you. His caddy's in Canada. And there you go.
It's tough to, I'm telling you, it's going to be really difficult for these teams to come down.
Yes. He's fascinating. So he actually, and this is going back, I'm going to say 2017, but it could have been 16. The tournament, the week before the Masters, he chipped in a shot on 16 that put him in the lead. He ends up winning the tournament that qualified him for the Masters the next week. And, you know, can you imagine the high you're on? And it was his first PGA Tour win. And the next week he found himself at Augusta National.
It's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yes. But that tournament, that's one of the things. Everything has something tied to it. That tournament is, if you win that, you automatically go next week, which is kind of cool. So, and like I said, again, it was the first day, but he was playing well at the Players' Championship.
Imagine going from not knowing what you were quite going to do next weekend to being like, yeah, by the way, I'm gonna go play. I'm just going to go play Augusta.
So then, you know, he's a great guy, and his wife plays. She's not a professional, but so she actually made the longest. He played in the Masters that weekend, but she played in that family, the three par three thing that you always see them with their kids and whatnot. And I guess he said, you know, well, why don't you go for this putt? And she made this long putt. And you know, they televised that. So all of us friends, we say, you know, you're not, guess who in the Herman family has the best putt ever made at Augusta National? And we all say Carolyn. So fun people, good times. And yes, so now we have a little education on tomorrow's tournament at Medalist Golf Club, which he once caddied at. That was good to know. And it was also interesting to know that with that par four, number five, where you have to choose one club, he said it was like 400 yards. So you're going to choose your whatever you hit 200 yards, and you know you'll probably be on in two. So now what Tom and Peyton do, I don't know. All right, so we end the PGA Tour is coming back on June 11th. And right now they will have caddies. And testing is, as we say, 610-632-0975. I'm thinking, well, NASCAR we know came back. Soccer we have seen come back, but that's being done in Germany. So it's not here in the States and being done on a regular basis. So the testing was interesting. He seems to be pretty confident that they can do the testing, and he seems like they've all been educated pretty well. I read earlier, and I didn't bring it up to him, but because you don't want to comment on somebody else's feeling, but Adam Scott was one player that I saw who does not feel comfortable, and he's going to kind of hold off for a while of participating in any of these events till I guess, and in fairness, in a sport where you're the team, that you have that option to be able to do that. And that is one of the things that we haven't seen, because we don't know when the NBA or the NHL exactly is going to return. And is there going to be anybody who says, you know what if I'm just not comfortable with this? That's a possibility.
Are there any tour ramifications for not playing? I mean, I'd imagine that...
In the PGA?
Yeah.
No. Because a lot of them actually set their schedule. I mean, you have to be somebody, your card, you know, you have to have your card. And then a lot of them set their schedules depending on, just like Jim was saying, with your practice, Tiger in particular, a lot of his at this point is his health. So when does he want to play? How does he set his schedule? And some of them are the, you know, like as Jim said, he's not going to miss the Players' Championship because while it's not one of the majors, the four majors, it's there. You know, that's why it has the name, the Players' Championship. So you want to play well there. So to answer your question, no, there is not, you know, you're not making money if you don't play, but you can.
But you can't lose your spot on the tour or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
Not if you have, your tour card goes by how long, and then you have to keep it. Now, that's a good question. So would you lose, Adam Scott's not going to lose his card. I'll look at the, there could be something down at the bottom that somebody would be a bubble guy, but no. So it'll be interesting. I don't think we'll see a lot different because it didn't look different in watching last week, and it doesn't really, I don't anticipate this week will look different because you can social distance with golf differently than you can these other sports. That was one thing I was disappointed in that nobody with the NHL has really talked about. But I said with the shield on the helmet, I think they have an advantage there of being able to kind of protect one another from each other, I should say, with equipment. And if they, now like would baseball consider, because we talked about that, that you could wear the shield on the mat, on the helmet, but that's batter box. That's not, you wouldn't wear that in the field. You couldn't do that, could you?
I don't think so. I just don't think that it's feasible.
No, I don't think so either. But hockey, I think it's feasible.
Yeah, I certainly think so. I think it would have to be a full, like a full Evo shield. But
yes.
I don't know. They'd have to mandate it, right? It would have to become mandatory.
Right. I would think, but then somebody might say it's too disturbing for me. I don't feel, you know, it doesn't work for me. So that would be a good point. Would they have to mandate it? And if you're not going to mandate something different in, say, football, then why would it have to be mandated in hockey? I was
right.
Just thinking with the way hockey equipment is to begin with, maybe that was more feasible. And actually, maybe if you don't mandate it, but some would go that route. I don't know.
I feel like some would for sure. Hmm. I bet you that they would. I just don't know if, I don't know how many percentage-wise would and if you have to make it mandatory or not.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. But that's why I say these, you know, June is right around the corner. And when we're talking about getting back to playing, at least in training camps and whatnot, the clock is ticking big time. 610-632-0975. So we'll throw it back out there. The NHL has a playoff proposal, 24 teams. So it is allowing, it's expanding what would be normal playoffs. And so some teams, as Tyler would say, have not earned that right. But that's the proposal, and by many accounts, it looks like it has passed a player's vote to do it, and it was obviously put forth by the league for the players to look at. And then with the NBA, they've kind of put out a survey to general managers, and they will be having, now the survey for them is just to get an idea of people's input, but Adam Silver and the Board of Governors will be the ones deciding how they proceed forward. And they have a meeting this Friday, May 29th, to discuss what they're going to do with their sport in the upcoming weeks. So what do you think of those two? And where are you on baseball? At this point, it seems like baseball's discussions keep coming back to the finances. And they really are faced with, can they save the 2020 season? 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
is Saturday afternoon going into evening here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And I think one thing I had glossed over on the NBA and its conversations with Disney World and the complex, the ESPN complex that it has there, is that it is expected to start recalling its players back to their team's market June 1st. And that's necessary if you think about it, because you got to get everybody back together, and that would allow them to have that initial two-week quarantine period that, in case you are getting people from out of the country, which was one of our questions, that would give you those 14 days and then 1 to 2 weeks of individual workouts at the team facilities and 2 to 3 week formal training camp. So if I'm adding this up, we're into the middle of July already, that we would then start seeing these games down there at the facility. So we're not seeing NBA basketball per se quickly. The recalling of players, and maybe you'll get some feedback from, that'd be another question. Would we be able to have Zoom post-practice conversations with a selected player after practices? Because we're not seeing anything until the middle of July.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to end up having to have some kind of like media arrangement agreement where you send in one representative.
I don't even know if they'd let that.
Sixers representative, I mean. You know, like a team rep.
Yes.
And then they distribute the annotated quotes to all of the media markets that are allowed to get them.
Sure.
I think that would be the only way it would work.
Yes. Well, but I'm just saying, but even by this scheduling, right, the recalling players, because that hasn't happened. However, you could still go currently to, and we have said this before, cities that have allowed reopening, players can voluntarily go and work out at that facility, and it has to be voluntary. You must volunteer, I should say. I did see where Mark Cuban said he and his players are acting as if this is all going to resume, and their facility, if I read the article properly, is allowed. And that makes sense because Texas has reopened. I'm not sure. Some places it looks like they've definitely reopened. So they're acting as if, but I'll be curious of when, so June 1st, I would assume players are assuming that this will all get passed by owners to allow the recall of players. And then now you'll have a 14-day thing in place. And it still gives you time to work out what exactly the format will be. How do you pick up the season? At what part of the season are you picking it up? Are you going straight to the playoffs and all the scenarios that we've laid out? 610-632-0975. Let's talk to Alan. Uncle Al, what's going on?
Hello there. This is Uncle Al, the kiddie's pal. 91, huh? Okay.
I did yesterday, yes.
Getting that handicap down there, whatever.
I know. I said that's like my goal. I'm trying to bring it down a notch or two.
Well, I talked to you last week. You said you didn't play good a day or two, but the next day you did. And I said, you know, you leave with that positive thought coming into the next time you start playing. So
Exactly. Evidently
it worked out.
Yes, it did. It did.
I wanted to ask you, I'm not a betting person, a little bit here or there, whatever, but just knowing the background of Tiger and Phil tomorrow, I wonder how much they'll have on the side, because I don't think the two of them could just play for charity as much as they love to bet it up, not get something going.
I would absolutely agree with you. Now, whether we'll hear that, because they are mic'd up, so we might actually we might be privy to hearing if there are some side bets happening.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of bust and chop you pick up where you might be able to say, oh, I know what that's in reference to, you know, that type of thing.
But, yes, and I didn't know this until I read an article this morning, but the on-course reporter, one of two, is Justin Thomas, who is Tiger's good friend.
Oh, yeah.
And both of them are members at Medalist. So, you know, you got to think that there'll be some kind of some commentary, whether he hits a bad shot or local knowledge, any and all of that kind of stuff could be taking place as well.
Well, I don't think you could probably pick too many out of those four that wouldn't have that much testosterone and being the competitors that they are, whether it was playing tiddlywinks or golf on TV. You know,
it's true. It's absolutely true. And even though Brady is, I believe we saw where he's like an 8 and Peyton's 6.5, but they're getting equal shots, which they get 3 on the front, each of them. And so that's fair for their for the matches part, and then obviously on the back it's alternate shot.
Oh, I'm sure they hit it far enough where they could be in play just about every hole, you know.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it could be very interesting. Do you know the name Vinny Covello?
I do not.
He's on the tour. He's great friends with you know who from Rolling Green.
Vinny Covello, okay.
Vinny Covello, C O V E L L O. I think he's 37. He got his tour card last year. He was in Havertown as a freshman, and then the family moved to Florida. So they're pretty well-to-do, but he's really a great young. He's a redheaded bison, which is unusual in this day and age, whatever.
I'll have to look for his name.
Yeah, and he's had some injuries, whatever, but Christopher talks to him on a weekly basis, so I'll bring you up to date, anything I hear and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go over there and keep my distance and over to Cherry Hill where I went last week when
nice.
I talked to you and
yep.
invited back again and all that stuff. So just to relax and have a cocktail and a burger or whatever and
perfect.
Go from there.
Sounds like a good Memorial Day weekend to me.
Not bad.
Take care. Thanks for the call, Alan. I appreciate
Always
it.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Have Bye-bye. A great rest of your Saturday. Yeah, see, he said tour card at 37. It's impressive because a lot of people, as you start to get older, they say, yeah, well, you see on the tour, there's some young, well, I'm not going to say it's only for the young, but there's a lot of good up and coming young players. And it's to keep going at it and trying to get that tour card when you're getting into your late 30s takes a lot of discipline and some, and it's not like, you know, you're not making big bucks. So there was a great article once that compared, and it happened to be Jim Herman, but Tiger, and how he arrived at a tournament and, you know, flew in. He had rented a home. It was all this. And meanwhile, Jim Herman and his family had driven to, and, you know, they were being, a lot of times for people who are on the cusp, I call it, or early part of their PGA career, like you actually can get housed by a family. I know there were a bunch of people when Marion had the PGA PGA championship, there were a bunch of people in that area who, you know, gave homes to, or some people rented them out to people, but others where you could just give a room to somebody who didn't have a lot so that they'd be near the course and could stay. And that's not uncommon for, but it just goes to show you the top and then people, you know, just trying to make it on the tour, how they do it differently in terms of the financial part of it. So 610-632-0975. The NBA will have an important meeting on Friday. The NHL, I imagine this week with the NHL, we're going to hear more about their recalling of players and how they will safely be able to do that. Because they've come up with what they want to do in terms of continuing their season and getting off that pause button. And now it's just a matter of where do they do it? How do they do it? Does everybody go to their own personal rinks, similar to what the NBA is going to try to do, and have a 14-day quarantine just for getting everybody back together? And then you're obviously doing your testing at your own facilities. It will be interesting for sure. 610-632-0975. So you can tell share how you feel about what the NBA is up to, what the NHL is up to, and if you have serious concerns at this point that baseball is really no further along in starting their season, and also how you are spending your Memorial Day weekend. Or did you go to the shore? Are you taking advantage of the fact that in New Jersey you can now gather up to 25? That number would feel large compared to when if you've only been in your house, and say, for me, we've only been four. There's only been four of us with everything we've done. Even when I have played golf, that's still only four. And I haven't seen anybody else because they stagger you so. So four going to 25 would seem like a crowd to me. 610-632-0975. Still, what are your Memorial Day weekend plans? And are they starting right about now? You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I was trying to control my audio and my phone was going crazy because I saw where this day in history came up and Tommy Green threw a no-hitter for the Phillies. Now, of course, I just lost it, but 1993, and I believe, I don't want the audio to go again, he struck out 10 and walked 7, and it was in 1991, May 23rd, 1991. And it caught my eye, one, because it just popped up, and it was a no-hitter, and it has good footage of it, but obviously Tommy Green on NBC Sports Philadelphia as an analyst, a Phillies analyst for pre and post game. And last year I played in a charity golf tournament with him. Baseball players, let me tell you, well, at least him in particular, when I tell you this man can hit a golf ball a mile, it's unbelievable. But they have a little more time, especially if you're a pitcher, that you can play some golf during your season, whereas a lot of the others you can't. But with baseball, you certainly can.
Oh, that no-hitter, by the way, was only his 15th career start.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was looking at the picture. He looks so young.
Pretty good start to the career.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good start to the career. It also sets the bar pretty high.
Pretty high.
Pretty high. But what a cool thing to be able to know that this day in history that you did do. So that was that. The other thing, and I cannot believe it took me till now to, did you see where Patrick Mahomes spoke to Texas Tech? I guess I always forget where these guys go to college, but anyhow, he gave a commencement speech virtually. The speech was 2 minutes long.
That's it? I mean, I guess you want to get out of there, but...
Well, it was virtual, so...
Right, normally you want to get out of the commencement speech and go celebrate, but you got nowhere to go.
Oh, my gosh. When I saw that it said it was 2 minutes long, I said, they have to be kidding, right? Now, I don't know what a commencement on via Zoom or YouTube or whatever. How are we shortening them because it's just different than being in person? That could be the case, or that was just he said what he wanted to say to the class and told them to go win their Super Bowl in life. And then, let's see. I shouldn't paraphrase him. Go out and win your Super Bowl. Congrats, class of 2020. I can't wait to see what you do next. So that was, And he actually had played briefly on the baseball team. And then he was the Texas Tech quarterback from 2014 to 2016. And then, obviously, entered the NFL draft and was selected by the Kansas City Chiefs, and the rest is history, including MVP of Super Bowl 54. Yes, 54, I do believe. And I did not realize that he was, when Texas Tech went to the Final Four, That would have been last year, right? Because well, we didn't have it this year. He went and followed to go and see that too. So he obviously is a sports fan, one, and Texas Tech he holds near and dear. And so he was probably asked, and he delivered in giving a commencement speech to his alma mater. Pretty cool. Actually, my, no, it's not a college graduation, but my son is graduating from eighth grade, and we're preparing. They sent out, you know, hey, we are having graduation on June 9th. So I had to put it on my calendar, and I'll have my computer ready, and everybody will be doing it virtually. I have seen some places that have reopened. I don't know if you've seen some of these pictures, Tyler, but where they've actually had graduation in person and they sat like every three chairs. You could do that if you had a small enough group, I guess.
My grade school would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
We had a graduating class for grade school, you know, eighth grade, right? 32.
Mine was 18.
Wow. Well, I thought mine was the smallest. I've never seen a graduating class smaller than mine.
18. One of these weekends, I'll bring in my eighth grade yearbook. It's very thin. There were 18
about
of
four
us.
Pages long?
Everybody had their own page. So it's about 20 pages long.
But did all of your...
We didn't each have our own page. What am I talking about? We did have like a paragraph about everybody.
Did you guys do a what you wanted to be when you grew up? Was that part of it?
I'm going to have to look at that.
So we had name, favorite memory of school, all of that stuff, right? And the last one was, what did you want to be when you grow up? I think probably if we had 32 kids in the class, I think we had like maybe 20 boys. The number of boys like way outnumbered the number of girls, right?
Right.
And if we had 20 boys, 17 or 18 of them were like, yeah, I'm going to be a professional athlete.
Course. Yeah,
you know, because at 12, you think you're good enough to make the pros.
Of course. I'm sure you said you were going to play for Major League Baseball.
I had no shot. I just didn't know it at the time.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, so that you aim for everything high. I can't name everybody. I could definitely name, I bet I could name half of my eighth grade class. I don't know if I would know their last names per se, but like one guy's name was Blaze. How am I ever going to forget Blaze?
It's a good name.
Great name.
I have a friend named Blaze.
And he was a swimmer. So Blaze, he was a good swimmer. There was a Tim. There was a guy, and his last name I do remember because it was very short. Jimmy Fay, quick, right? And he played three sports. And I remember Sister Kathleen was the teacher. Well, she was a nun, obviously. She was the eighth grade teacher. Yes. Yeah, and our school was so small. I mean, it was one story, small classrooms, and we had one room, which was like you used it for gym, but you used it for eating lunch. It was everything.
All the assemblies.
Yes, our assembly was so small. Now they have since added on to my grade school in terms of construction, so it is bigger. I don't know what their class sizes are now, but I can see the additions. And when I pass it, I'll say to my kids, like, that middle box, that was my entire school. None of the end, either end, was part of our building back then. But I guess we got undivided attention for sure. But you only had 18 in the class. And you knew everybody in the school, too.
You weren't getting away with anything, though, either.
Nope. Sister Kathleen would have no part of that. So I thought about this. We'll try this for the 6 o'clock hour. You can think about this. Tomorrow we're going to see two players. Two guys who play on the PGA Tour, and Tiger and Phil, and they play at the highest of levels and have had such a great competition for 20 years. But they're going to be playing with, you know, these two football stars. So if you could see an athlete play another sport, and we're talking high level, and part of this came up because when we're watching The Last Dance recently, we saw where Jordan competed in baseball and really worked hard to try to make himself a hitter. And they statistically, you know, he wasn't good when he got there, but he was getting better for sure. And then that was when the whole strike, I think, happened. I think that's part of why he stopped the participation of playing in the minor league baseball. But so I'm very much intrigued at seeing Brady and Peyton compete on the golf course. And I'm also intrigued by seeing Tiger and Phil be their partner and what dynamic we'll see there. But if you could see somebody else who's a really great athlete in their sport play another sport, what would it be? 610-632-0975. I have a couple actually in mind. And I'll also try to think of people who did go and try to play another sport similar to Jordan, and a couple come to mind again. And we'll kind of add to that conversation is, if you are an excellent athlete in, say, sport A, is it easier to transition into sport B as opposed to vice versa? So are some of them easier? Is being an athlete in one lend you to being more successful in picking up a different sport because of how you've trained? What skill set is necessary to compete at the highest level that you do? So
that's a great question, because I think there's a lot of there's sport, like the athletic tiers are certainly different, but there's individual aspects of each sport that would make it very difficult if you're just a great athlete.
Absolutely. I mean, so the other day somebody was asking me, oh, I know, Kyle Lowry was here and he was playing golf where I was playing. I didn't see him, but he was out on the course when I was there. And I said, oh, wow, I'd like to know, I'd like to see his golf game. So somebody asked me, and I said, for instance, Aaron McKee picked up golf after he was done playing in the NBA. And I have played with him. And one of the things about him was that he really worked on his short game, and that's where you score. So somebody asked me, well, what about off the tee? I'm like, all of those guys hit it off the tee a mile. So the ones who really invest in the short game is good. And then I said, not surprising, another former Sixer that I played with was Kyle Korver, and he shot lights out. But that, to me, is about he was an excellent shooter, and I think there's something about that hand-eye coordination with the shooting that translates into golf, because Steph Curry's an excellent golfer. And
Now we know why I stink at golf. This makes it way easier now. We figured out the correlation. I can't jump, shoot, or golf.
Well, I'm not a jump shooter. Not now, for sure. But that is definitely one, and I will tell you this, hockey players tend to be good golfers. Now that, even though the swing is different, even though a hockey stick versus a golf club is different, but there's something there that translates to those athletes.
Well, and I wonder if that's the same for a lot of baseball players, because baseball players,
they're great ones.
They've
too.
Got some kind, because you know when you swing a baseball bat, obviously you've got that step to generate the power.
Yep,
and that's really difficult to get rid of when you're trying to play golf.
Right, because you're not supposed to swing into
right.
it. Right, can't sway, no sway, Tyler. All right, so we'll talk about that. Who's somebody you'd like to see playing another sport? Like we're going to see tomorrow. We're going to watch Peyton and Tom Brady get a little out of their element and play a competitive golf tournament. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.